everything down, but it was wonderful because it was a space where kids could go and do their work. It gave them things. Even if it wasn't an organized activity, the kids could organize themselves.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but yeah, probably just
because they knew there was a space to go.
Yeah.
Whatever went on.
It's 9:03. We have a forum. We're going to call the meeting in order. Get a roll call.
Richards?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here somewhere.
Ladies and gentlemen.
McGuire?
How are we all doing?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Sorry.
Alex?
Here.
Carter?
Yeah.
Carter?
Present. Need approval of the agenda and the addendum.
So moved.
Second. Open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Public participation. None. Okay, no public participation. Approval of minutes for May 9th, 2014.
Motion approved.
Second.
Okay, motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, next thing is the county and township motor fuel tax claim for May 2014.
Move approval.
Second.
It's open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? And our next thing is the county engineer's report.
Okay, first item. Item number 7 is a resolution appropriating $138,000 from the motor fuel tax fund and authorizing the county board chair to sign contract for pavement management study. You see the section number there, same section number we've used before, just with a different extension at the end. This is a proposal from Applied Research Associates for a multi-year pavement management services for the county. As you know, we've been doing this for at least 5 years now, and Bill was at the board meeting and showed what we've accomplished through this pavement management study. It's not a 5-year contract because Deb Busey had indicated to me that there's a policy that 3-year contracts are the way that the county board needs to do business. So we've got a 5-year proposal, but the resolution is for 3 years. Obviously, we have the ability to extend that contract into years 4 and 5. Applied Research Associates has done a fabulous job with our pavement management study. Since we got into this thing, we're getting to the point now where we're able to extend the life of our asphalt pavements. That curve you see there, which is on page 13, I guess, of the packet, which shows the kind of the age and years the asphalt overlay deterioration curve. I believe over the next 5 years we're actually going to be able to extend that curve. We're starting to see longer life out of our pavements due to the fact that we're using the pavement management study to do our crack sealing and our seal coating and our maintenance work on our roadways in a timely and appropriate manner. We've really taken the bull by the horns as far as being aggressive with some of the newer technologies, which Bill and I have sat on a committee to adopt the cold-in-place recycling policy for the state of Illinois through IDOT, using that technology and technologies in the pavement management system. We're getting better roadways right out of the chute as far as construction and and our roughness indexes, and those roughness indexes are staying smoother over time. Doesn't matter whether it's over an old concrete pavement or whether it's old asphalt that goes all the way down to the rock. We're seeing a better result, longer lasting pavements. Obviously, I've got a link into this pavement management system through a internet web-based access where I can go in and look at this at any time. Every time they do their run, every other year, we sit down over a day's time and talk about the results and figure out where we're going to go in the future and what which one of these rehabilitation and maintenance procedures is doing the best for us, and you know, how long we need to wait in between those treatments. And it's an evolving system. You know, when we first started out, there were some things in our treatment matrix that we've shifted around as time has gone on as far as how long we wait to seal coat and crack seal, and what we do under different situations based on the roughness and the strength of the roadway. So I think this is a very, very valuable tool that we've been able to utilize to do a better job of maintaining our roadways. When I first got here, for those that were on the board or those that have come onto the board and been here with me for several years, the county's maintenance system was overlay. And when the road started cracking up again, we overlaid it again. We didn't do any seal coating. We did very little crack sealing. We did very little maintenance on the roadways. It was just to be honest with you, it was driven by the contractors that we have in the area that the road needed to be overlaid again and again and again. And now we've got this thickness of layers of asphalt pavement on top of a lot of concrete roads across the county, and as we continue to, if we would continue to overlay, obviously our shoulders get less and less wide and get more steep. And so using the pavement management system in order to better monitor and better choose what projects and what maintenance strategies we're going to use has been a great tool for us. And I would really ask that you guys approve this pavement management system, this 3-year contract with the you know, with the ability to extend it to 5 years, because it's been something that I believe the county board has embraced. I know we've embraced it. It's a trend that is nationwide. As a matter of fact, I'm on the National Association of County Engineers pavement management group, where a lot of counties and a lot of states are doing these kinds of systems because they see the need and the value in doing pavement management. I believe, if I'm not wrong, in MAP 21, there is a mandate on the national highway system to do pavement management. We don't have any national highway system roads on our county roads, but there are counties up in the Chicago metro area that do have national highway system roadways. So the feds obviously are recognizing the value to the tool. And, you know, I think we're large enough. We have enough traffic. We have enough need. Obviously, we have a dwindling budget in our motor fuel tax funds. And to be able to do more with less is what we've been doing for the last 5 years and what we're going to have to do in the next 5 years. So I think this helps us accomplish that goal. So I'd ask for your approval of this pavement management system, this resolution.
Second.
The motion is second. On that, go for information. Alex.
Jeff, my expectation would be that this Fed mandate would mean that it's more likely that we'll see additional providers in this space. I mean, currently, our choices are pretty limited, right?
Well, they're limited because Applied Research Associates is the one that uses the RWD, which is the strength indicator. Any other company, if you ask them to do strength testing on your roadways, they've got basically a trailer that they pull behind a pickup truck, and they have to stop however close you want them to. Every 500 feet, drop a weight, do a test. So in order
to...
Takes longer, costs more, exactly.
So I would assume, go back to my earlier comment, that I would guess that these guys have a better mousetrap, and it's about to be mandated that
it's yeah.
used, then we'd start to see some competition.
I think Bill could answer this question better than I, but it's an amazing thing that we have the federal highways number one priority in pavement management systems sitting right here in Champaign, Illinois. I mean, if we were out in another state and we were trying to do this, obviously the cost would be incrementally higher because they would have to get to us in order to do the work that they're doing. So to have them based right here in Champaign really gives us a you know, a distinct advantage in being able to use this pavement management system that they have developed. And yeah, there's going to be more players in the game, I would assume, because it sounds like the feds are trying to put more players in the game. But whether we're going to have another player in the game that's even regionally close to Champaign, who knows?
Appreciate your predictions. And is the contract essentially just a pro forma reference to this proposal, or is there a separate contract language?
The contract, basically the proposal here, and then in the back is the terms and conditions.
So we just essentially signed the proposal, and that's the contract?
Yeah, there's a signature line here for the Champaign County Board Chair under the acceptance of the proposal.
Can we make sure the State's Attorney's Office sees the terms and conditions?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, Lloyd and Lynn.
All right, stand up.
Who is the client?
Champaign County.
Client is us?
Yes.
Well, why not the owner?
We're both the client and the owner, I would.
That's what kind of throwing me. Now, he kind of got some language in here. They are not required to have a bond.
Which part of the terms and conditions are you reading there?
Well, it seems we got all the risks, we assume.
I don't know what risk we would have because we're not putting anybody or any piece of equipment on the roadway.
Right.
They are. So they have to ensure their equipment and their people, but we're not actually physically on the roadway with them at all.
That's what I was thinking, but they still refer to the client as the responsible for most of the risks.
Bill, can you speak to that?
Yeah, I don't know. The county has little to, I mean, it's effectively zero risk in this. All that we maintain all the equipment. We insure all the equipment. It's not like a construction project where there's a bond because we're not touching your infrastructure. We're just, all the equipment that does the testing is no different than any other vehicle driving down the road. It just has sensors on it. So it's a semi-truck with sensors and it's a van with sensors, but we don't actually impact, all testing is non-destructive. We're always driving with the flow of traffic. You wouldn't know it from any other vehicles that are out there. So there isn't an impact to the county infrastructure at all. I mean, obviously as a business, we're insured and we have professional liability insurance and we have, but really none of that comes into play because we're not designing anything. We're offering recommendations on what designs need to be done, but the designs are done by consultants that you guys choose.
Yeah, but they still make the part of the contract and once it's signed, I don't know how you get out of it.
We can have the state's attorney look at that.
Yeah, if there's a clause in the terms that you want to change, or that's easy.
Yeah, that was my concern too, Lloyd. I think we just need to have the state attorney look at the risk allocation clause. We've looked at that on a couple other contracts recently, so we're familiar with that language.
Yeah. Yep. And Jeff, just so you know, some locations just accept it and sign it, and some ask us to strike that entire clause. And if some of the state's attorney wants to cross off, we do that with some agencies. We just X out that provision.
That's what we got lawyers for.
That's right.
Michael.
All right. We're just wondering if we can hear a little from ARA about the proposal, since we seem to have them here.
Sure.
A couple of things to point out on top of what Jeff already said. I think he did a good job of explaining what's going on. Let me go back to that federal rulemaking and the requirements coming down the road. Jeff talked about the National Highway System having requirements. Those were supposed to be out in March. The government's delayed. They're now, the rulemaking will be in August. But the requirement that's expected to come by 2018 is for MPOs, Metropolitan Planning Organizations. And because we have an MPO here in the county, there will be a mandate in the very near future that the county have a pavement management system. We are seeing all over the country MPOs, counties, cities of any size jumping in where they were doing nothing in the past. Champaign County is in a unique position to have a provider in the county. The costs on this proposal, we do Sangamon County and DuPage and McHenry and whatever, but we also do Lee County, Florida, and Arlington, Texas, and out in Washington State and California. We're all over the country because it's a unique service. This is not standard engineering. Our engineers all have master's degrees, if not PhDs. We're kind of a very specialty part of engineering. There aren't that many people in the country that do this. You're right, when it becomes a federal mandate, the market will likely get bigger. We're seeing that now, that some of the big AE firms, typical architectural engineering firms, are wanting to try and do this. The trouble is they need to then hire a different level of person than they're used to hiring. This isn't just go grab a civil engineer out of school and make them go. You actually need the advanced degrees and the advanced knowledge. So the Champaign County is kind of uniquely positioned in that we're here. And we do this work on a national basis from Champaign. So when I look at what this costs to do, even in the Chicagoland area, the costs are significantly higher because when the folks are doing the testing, they're in hotels. Here, they go home every night. We get a rain day, it's no big deal. They just go back to the office and they're productive. They get a rain day and they're up in McHenry County and they're sitting in a hotel while it's raining, and McHenry County is getting charged for those hours. So you got probably the lowest cost of any pavement management system I've ever seen. And when you look at it on a percentage basis, I know cost is always a big issue. Nationally, the recommendation is that an agency spend somewhere between 2-4% of its construction dollars in management systems, in figuring out what is the best way to allocate your money. You spend somewhere between 2-4% of your dollars to figure out the best way to do it. And if I look at the cost of our contract over the next, this proposal over the next 5 years, and your expected funding stream over the next 5 years, we're at 1.5%. A lot of that is because we're in the backyard. We're also heavily invested. I live in Champaign County. I pay taxes in Champaign County. Everyone who works on this project is here. We want to see Champaign County as one of the best out there. It's a sense of pride for us as much as it is for the county. And then on top of that, because of the work we're doing here and Jeff being proactive, Jeff's on the National County Engineers Board, but the work that's been done, especially with the rolling wheel deflectometer, and active pavement management at the local government level, has been written up in a number of trade magazines. It's been published in peer-reviewed publications. The county actually is fairly well known around the country as being proactive in managing its network. And what we're seeing from that is when we started this process, 2006?
Yeah.
I mean, it was that old, we just mill and fill. We just go out and put new asphalt down. And the reason we started this process was under that scheme of working on roads and maintaining roads, we weren't going to be able to keep up. The roads were getting worse and worse spending the money that we had. We haven't drastically increased the budget, but we're stretching the dollars farther. And because we have a plan in place, because the county has a plan, and we're going to do this road, Jeff's been able to, I mean, just done an awesome job leveraging and finding a federal grant here and a state program there. When you have a true plan laid out, you can then go out and see, you know, where can I go grab a little extra oil, grab some safety money over here and some state, you know, whatever grant over here. And we've been able to use the pavement management system to very quickly respond to the capital development folks when they've wanted to, you know, there's been discussions of putting in a plant or something. What do we need to do to upgrade the roads? I mean, we'll get that analysis turned on around for Jeff within a day because we have the data and the information and we're here. And Jeff knows he could just call me up and say, Bill, I need this right away. So I think what we're bringing you is best of breed service at a price that is something we can't do anywhere else. I mean, we can't even, we're not even this low in Sangamon County, and they're not too far away. And this, you know, it's, we provide them effectively the same service.
And Bill's right. We've, if you follow the trend of the funding streams that we've received in Champaign County, let's take, for instance, the Dewey Fisher Road, which we're negotiating right away on now. We have federal dollars in that project. We have TARP money, which TARP money is basically money to bring the road up to 80,000 pounds, okay? So if you're going to do a TARP project, you have to analyze the strength of the roadway, and you have to come up with a scenario in which it's going to have load capability for 80,000-pound trucks. So if I was going to do that, I would have to go hire an engineer to analyze the roadway and tell me what strength level it's at right now and what we need to do to get it to 80,000 pounds. With our pavement management system, I don't have to do any of that because it's all sitting right here in front of me. I've got the information. I didn't have to put that money out. And my TARP applications have been successful 4 out of the last 5 times. And also with our cold-in-place recycling, we're having the same type of success because IDOT's been analyzing the strength coefficients of cold-in-place recycling and how thick the overlays have to be, and we did a special project on one of our cold-in-place recycling projects where they analyzed, and this was all pro bono because they were working for a contractor and for IDOT, but they analyzed our cold-in-place recycling before we ever, what they did is they analyzed the roadway before, which was our pavement management system. We did the cold-in-place recycling. They went out, analyzed that in place without an overlay on it. Then we went out and did the overlay, and they came back and analyzed it with the overlay on it so that basically we could figure out how do we get an 80,000-pound roadway out of a cold-in-place recycling structure, which is kind of the way we're going. They did that on behalf of a contractor and behalf of IDOT to try to figure out those structural coefficients, but we're benefiting from it tremendously because now we can go out and do a CIR project, know that if we put such and such thickness of CIR and then come back with a hot mix overlay over the top of it, we can get an 80,000-pound structure. Therefore, we can apply for TARP money. Therefore, we don't have to use as much motor fuel tax money. So as much as, you know, yeah, we're paying for this pavement management systems, but the benefits that have come back to us by having them as our pavement management contractor and working with them, working with IDOT, working with the feds, working with contractors, I think those have been tenfold what it's costing us to run this pavement management system. So.
Okay, Maxwell.
Jeff, this is a wonderful tool. As an engineer, I would love to have it in the counties that I worked in. But so are 2 new 10-wheel dump trucks. So is an asset such as an additional maintenance van, or the ability to match over $1 million in federal aid over the next 5 years. That's a wonderful thing to do also. So it's a matter of making choices.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to justify those choices as resources become more and more limited.
Right.
So I think you've made a wonderful case for what you are doing now. Again, as resources become tighter and tighter, and as you request money to be returned from the corporate fund to the county highway fund in the form of the federal aid matching fund, you're going to have to be able to justify even more in the future, these kind of expenditures. The other thing that concerns me is we have a contract that's in excess of $30,000, and we've not done an RFP or RFQ on it. Granted, we probably would only get one provider at this time, but I believe we should at least abide by our process that's in place. We should have done an RFQ on it. And beyond that, there are other firms that can do it. They may do it differently, but they can still do it.
Mm-hmm.
So at least these firms should at least be given a chance. And they are. There's some locally. All About Payments, are they locally? Or?
They're not. Wayne used to live. All About Payments used to be Muhammad-based. It's a gentleman who left our company when we were acquired by another company years ago. He moved to Florida probably 5 years ago. His daughter still lives in Muhammad, so he may maintain a Muhammad address, but he lives in Florida and then half the year in Minnesota.
I think his equipment's stored here in the county, some of it. So
I don't know where he keeps his
business. So, yeah, he has an office out of Muhammad. But anyway, that's just an example that we are not strictly limited.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to at least see us adhere to the RFQ policy. It wouldn't delay your problems at all. I mean, it might kick them down the road another 90 days. But I don't anticipate you're going to be doing anything much in that time frame anyway. And again, you're going to have to start making some choices. Do you want a new dump truck? Do you want to upgrade your engineering staff? Because I know your staff could use a CAD and that sort of software, and they need to be trained to use it. And these are the sort of things you need to start asking yourself before we start spending $250,000 for this type of project. And maybe this project is well worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is the sort of thing that should be asked. And it's incumbent upon us as policymakers to ask those kind of questions occasionally. So,
right.
Thank you, Lorraine.
Deb Ducey's got her hand up.
Oh, okay, Deb.
Just a clarification. Under QBS, there's no requirement to do an RFQ if you are working with a firm where you have an established positive working relationship. So when you say there's a policy requirement, there is not. Under state law, the way Jeff has pursued this is completely allowed under the QBS statutes.
I understand.
And this is for services, and the county policy requires, and state law requires, bids or RFPs when you're purchasing hard materials over $30,000, but with services, it's left to the discretion of the governing body.
May I speak again?
Mm-hmm.
I understand that, Deb.
And I just wanted to clarify because I wanted to make sure the other board members understand it is not a requirement in this situation to do an RFQ.
I think, though, in this particular instance, because we're not going to be delaying anybody, and I think that at least it makes good sense to at least see what's out there in the available to do this kind of work. And I think occasionally we owe it to the community to go out to RFQs for this type of service.
Okay, Jim. Okay, John.
Divert to that.
Well, I have a little bit of a problem, and I do. Become a member of this committee, I didn't want to take the Jeff's job away from him and tell him what he needed to do. Whether he buys pickup trucks or hires additional people or uses the payment management system, we have a responsibility in that decision, but that decision needs to come from him, not from me, because I know darn little about it. And so I don't want to micromanage or try and micromanage a person that's doing an excellent job for us.
I just wanted to let him go. And thank you for saying that, Deb, because I wanted to make sure the RFQ was followed. I don't know that it would save us money to have an RFQ and spend the money on the RFQ because we may be right back here doing the same thing in 3 months and just delaying the inevitable. The issue that Lloyd brought up and Chris clarified about the mm-hmm. contractual issues, I think, cleared that one up. That more people may eventually get into this and do this process may be an issue, but we don't know if that's now. We don't have any information in front of us that it's now
or will be next year, the year after, or 3 years from now when this could come back in front of us in the future. It sounds like the technology is something that is maybe proprietary, obviously. It could go out.
It's at this point, it's not like there's no intellectual property protection. It's just there are so few people that do it. It takes a very high special level of knowledge. So it's not, it's open technology if somebody bothers to learn it.
But right now the market's not there, and people are going to have to build into the market, and it's going to take some time, to probably do that. And as far as saving money for, you know, other expenditures, I think it has saved us a lot of money in tight budgets to support the rest of our budgets. And I think we need to continue doing it. So, of course, I support it.
Okay, Alex.
I mean, yeah, from a cost allocation standpoint, I think it would be insane not to do something like this. I mean, obviously, it's a decision support system. The more resources get limited, the more you want to be able to target those resources in an optimal manner. So I certainly think if you look at the cost that's being spent on this, it's going to return many times over in terms of efficiency. I'm sort of on the fence on the competitive issue. I mean, I agree with Gary that I would like an assurance that I'm not sure we have to do a formal RFQ if the space is small enough that we already know who all the potential players are.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with John that if this is a company that we have an existing relationship with, I'm willing to sort of take your word for having looked at the competitive landscape and determined that this is going to be very likely to be the most cost-effective way to move forward. I mean, if this space does change, I agree that it certainly would be appropriate to go out there and look at all the available potential vendors. But I mean,
if I thought ARA,
there's no advantage to you to waste the county's money. Yeah. So if you felt like there were right. more cost-effective options out there, I see no reason why you wouldn't bring those to us.
If the cost would have risen significantly since the last contract, obviously would have had a raised eyebrow about it. But it's similar in anything else that you do in your life, in work or outside of work. Once you get efficient and effective at doing something and you know how to use the tool to take that efficiency and effectiveness away and start over with a new tool, it takes a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of resources from us to start back at ground zero and rebuild something that we've already got a five-year history with. I think you have to take that, that kind of work and effort. It'd be like if you were using AutoCAD and went to MicroStation, you got to learn how to do MicroStation when you've been using AutoCAD for 10 years. And I really feel that ARA has given us a good cost on this. And I really can't be more happy with what they've get. I mean, I can call Bill or Doug or anybody in his company any time of the day or week or on a Saturday and ask them for something, and I never get an extra bill. They never say, well, that's going to cost you to run that report or this report for you. We'll have to figure out a proposal and send it to you. Never, ever have done that. And there has been multiple times where I've asked them to do special designs and so forth on behalf of Champaign County, whether it's for a truck access route project or when they were going to build the ethanol plant over in Royal or any of them. As a matter of fact, we got the entire road built from Penfield to Royal based on their recommendation. Got all the money from the state, and they never built the ethanol plant, and they never asked for the money back. So we got a free road, basically, out of that one.
Call for the question.
Okay, call for the question. Michael?
Just wanted to quickly second. Add, I'm going to vote for this, but I want to ask about beyond consent, since we have some concerns, even if the vote's unanimous.
Okay. All right. Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Anyone oppose?
All right. Moving on to item 8, resolution appropriating $392,403 from the MFT fund and authorizing the county board chairs to sign an intergovernmental agreement with the city of Urbana for the reconstruction of Philo Road. We've talked about this at two or three different meetings about the fringe road agreement with the city of Urbana, as well as IDOT's procedure memorandum, which was effective October 15th, which says that MFT funds can be allocated on public roads as long as there's an agreement between the two public entities to spend those dollars. As you well know, the project is complete. The final costs have been calculated, and the final cost is basically, it is double what we're asking for in the resolution, because that was the share allocation in the fringe road agreement. So this is a resolution to pay the city of Urbana for our 50% share of the Philo Road project, and authorizing the chair to sign that intergovernmental agreement. So,
okay, as I was here, the $392,403.
What's that? $392,403.
Okay.
I move adoption.
Second.
And moved in second. Open for discussion. John?
What? I hate fringe road agreements, as you know.
I know.
And they're not getting any better. How many more do we have?
Fringe road agreements?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I believe we have Lincoln Avenue. And we still have a small piece of Prospect up towards Olympian Drive. And then we have Curtis Road from 45 over to First Street.
Well, I'm concerned because the fringe roads can suck up all of our money just like that.
I agree.
And I want to get out of the fringe road business and just take care of our roads and let them take care of their roads.
Yep.
That's all I got.
Patsy had her hand up.
No, okay. Chris had his hand up.
I'll say what I've said before on this. I mean, the fringe road agreement is what it is. Where we go with those agreements in the future beyond the current commitments is up to the board. I'm open to be convinced, but I think the current agreement's pretty clear. I think the city did a good job in terms of controlling the costs. I think they could have insisted on a more expensive solution here than the one they did. I think they split the difference. They put in a road that was of high quality but was not urban street standards. And I think we ought to pay it.
Okay, Patsy.
A question to Jeff. I'm remembering things that you've told us at past meetings. The original fringe agreement went to a boundary of Urbana that, since the fringe agreement was established, that boundary got expanded further south.
That's correct.
If I remember correctly. Okay,
yes.
Thank you. So what I'm interested in, let me back up a minute. The agreement or the approval by the board was that we would pay to that new boundary, even though that was not the original fringe agreement.
That's correct. Yes, ma'am.
So what is that costing us, that window of differential? Do you have any idea what that's costing? If you don't today, when this comes to the board, would you provide that information?
We could provide, I mean, it just basically have to be, the road is 8/10 of a mile long, and here's the 1/1500 of a mile, and we could break it down based on
Rough ideas.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I couldn't break out the actual cost numbers that are exactly associated with that one, with that piece. But we could give you, whether it's 50,000 or, which I suspect is between 50 and 100,000.
Well, the reason for asking for this is it pulls back to what John Jay and Chris said. We have these other fringe agreements, and it's sort of like a bad neighbor.
Right.
Urbana's a bad
neighbor. We need a fence. We don't stick to the fence. And it's kind of a reminder to all of us on the board that, we have to sort of attend to our boundaries that we had in the original agreement. I understand it was good neighborliness for Urbana, but it still comes out of our budget.
Okay, Alex.
I would just make the point that I believe that the difference in the county's share of the cost between the original, the city boundary that was in place at the time of the fringe road agreement and the city boundary that we agreed to to which we agreed to extend the road is almost certainly going to be less than the potential difference that the county could have been on the hook for if Urbana had done the project that they're authorized to do under the Fridge Road Agreement. Urbana saves some money on the project. We save some money. I think it's reasonable that we participated in the entire project as opposed to either leaving a, whatever that would be, a 0.2-mile stretch of road unimproved. Mm-hmm. I think this is a classic situation where compromise was right. beneficial to both parties. So I reiterate my support for this.
Jim, did you have anything? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
All right. And next item is resolution for contract award authority for the county engineer. We are bidding a project this month for a township bridge project between the townships of Tolono and Champaign Township. It's actually going to be bid on June 18th. This project's been in the works for longer than I would like, but the fact of the matter is we need to get it done this summer, and to wait for the award to go through a county board process would slow down the process of being able to get this complete this summer. We've done this many times. As long as the cost is no higher than 10%, within 10% of the engineer's estimate, giving me the authority to award the contract, I'll bring all the numbers back to the next highway committee meeting and tell you how it went. But as long as it's a reasonable cost, I would be like to be allowed to award the contract to the most responsible bidder.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Jim beat you to it. Okay, it's been moved and second. Now it's open for discussion. Alex?
Jeff, what road is this?
It's actually Old Church.
Okay. I was trying to picture where the Champaign-Tolono Township line was, and I wasn't sure which road it fell on. Okay, yeah, I know.
Be just west of the, it's kind of where the Jesse.
Yeah, I know where this is.
Yep.
That's my district.
We better vote for it, then.
That's right. The north side of Old Church. I don't care about the south side.
This is right on the line, so you got half of it.
Just build half.
Yeah, I'll fix the north half.
You got the crappy half. Okay.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
So you have designation of items to be placed on the consent agenda. Mr. Richards has asked that 7 not be placed on the consent agenda. But I believe 8 and 9 could be.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Don't turn that up.
Hello. I'm in the meeting. I have to call you back.
But call again because I'm here.
I don't hear mine half the time.
Under other business. Do we see a need to have a highway committee meeting in July? I don't foresee any contracts that need to be awarded in the month of July because everything we're starting to build now, and we've got this one that I have the award authority on. The only way I could see needing a July meeting from my standpoint is if for some reason those bids come in a little bit off and I gotta figure out if we can award it and maybe come back to the highway committee. Other than that, I don't have any agenda items for the month of July, so Deb asked that we talk about that under other business.
There would still be a kind of
that would be the 4th because there's a Monday. No, that's a Tuesday. No, that's a Tuesday, so it'd be 11th.
Yeah, I'm actually gone on the 11th as well, so.
Sounds like a good day to have a meeting.
The meeting is canceled to me.
I don't mind canceling as long as you don't have to do a bid or something like that.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, okay. I'll let Linda know if I got anything, but I don't see anything. And then the only other item I had, which not necessarily an action item, but something that we've had ever since I was here back in the early 90s, a uniform contract for our engineers and our mechanics. Actually, our mechanics, obviously, we didn't have any back in those days, but we do now. And this thing has gotten severely out of hand, where it's costing the highway department way too much money, in particular for our engineers, to have a uniform customer service agreement. And the engineers do, you know, they, when they're out on construction jobs and so forth, they ruin a lot of clothes, specifically when they're driving piling and that kind of thing. And it's been a great benefit, and I don't foresee not having some kind of benefit there with them. But when this uniform contract reaches the $5,000 to $6,000 a year type of number, it seems a little bit ridiculous. So my thought process is, and something that I did up in Champaign County, is have an allowance for the engineers to buy their own uniforms or clothes, whatever they need, out on, you know, for construction projects out on the roadway, instead of paying this huge uniform agreement. The mechanics would still like to, because they literally, if we didn't have these, they would ruin every piece of clothing they have because they're constantly full of grease and oil. But with our engineers, I'd rather move to some kind of uniform allowance for them to do their own thing instead of us paying for somebody to clothe them and at this exorbitant amount. So it may take some kind of something in a budget somewhere to, because this is kind of just in our highway budget under services and contracts. I don't know what kind of line item we would have to add, or if we could just use it in that one. But I'd rather go that route with something like this than the route that we're currently on. I think it would save us a lot of money. And these uniforms don't fit that well. A lot of people don't even like to wear them because the pants don't fit, and they might lose weight or gain weight, and then we get charged to redo the uniforms. And it's not a service that's treating us very well. And we just got a new contract, and the costs went up substantially. And we've changed contracts between three different vendors, and they always promise us they're going to hold their costs. And the next contract we get, it goes right through the roof after they get you. So looking at, we might have to do some kind of shift in the budget from one line item to another to make it so that we wouldn't be using this. And obviously for, see, five people at about $1,000 a head, there's no way we need that kind of uniform allowance for those individuals. So,
Deb, didn't we some years ago do something pertaining to buying the uniform for the fleet here?
For your highway workers?
Yeah, for the highway maintenance workers.
I think it's in their contract.
Yeah, okay.
I would suggest that we probably need to talk about this, because if you convert it to paying it to the employee, it may have income tax implications,
right,
that they may not want.
Okay.
It would have additional implications for you for some of the fringe benefit costs.
Okay.
So there may be a way of doing it where you purchase what they need,
okay,
and provide it to them rather than using the contract.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks, Will.
I'm basically going to ask essentially what you said, and what kind of contractual arrangement we have with the maintenance people to provide uniforms, but I think Deb's pretty well addressed that.
Thanks.
So you could go to you'd have a recommended vendor? I mean, because I think, are you looking for uniformity and all that, so?
Not really. I mean, don't really care if they all look the same. That's not the intent. The intent is that they ruin their clothes if they were, you know, if we just shut this off and said, go buy your own clothes, it's a cost back to them that they've never had to born over the last 20 years. So,
and what sort of a cost are you thinking per head?
$300 to $400 a year, somewhere in that area for work boots and clothes, you know, jeans and shirts, basically.
Work boots might be $200 of that.
Yeah,
but they don't need them every year either, typically, you know. They don't have to buy Red Wings.
Jim?
It doesn't sound like you're going to change the maintenance, the guys that work on the trucks.
No.
I'm sure they're covered under contract.
Yeah, they got coveralls and everything.
Engineers kind of covered under contract.
We have two technicians that are covered underneath. It's not even actually in the highway contract. It's in the...
Yes, in contract, and I don't know if it's addressed.
I don't believe it is.
It's just something you provide. You don't have to worry about changing a working condition.
I don't think it's in the Yasmin contract because there are two of 111 employees, and most others don't have that issue. So.
And then you said you don't want them to look the same, but I think trying to have them safety shirts and something that says county on it.
So well, they wear safety vests when they're out on the projects, and we do provide those. I mean, we have to, personal protection. But as far as whether they're going to wear jeans or whether they're going to wear work pants or a white shirt or a blue shirt, I don't pretend to want to be that regulatory.
It's going to be interesting trying to pick out their clothes for the...
And actually, the majority of them don't even wear these clothes from time to time. I mean, they, especially in the wintertime, you know, they don't like the way they fit. We've tried to get them changed. It's a zoo. It's
Alex.
You're not proposing to do anything to them for the mechanics, though?
No.
Okay, because
no,
I think that's a...
They work. Yeah, they provide coveralls and all this stuff.
There's a safety issue. We don't want them getting in their cars covered in grease. They want... You know, there's a safety issue for their families if they're having to launder stuff that's essentially hazardous waste. So you can do what you want with the engineers, I think, as long as the mechanics are still, we just have to provide uniforms for them.
Yeah, the engineers.
See how I dress.
I'm surprised to find out that we're paying for engineers' uniforms. I think we pay them enough to take a pay for their uniforms.
You don't pay for my uniform.
My whole wardrobe's not with one.
But we pay you way too much.
Well, maybe we should. We can put a little control on that.
The only shirts we should pay for are those which you're wearing now.
All right.
Any more discussion? Anything else?
I don't have anything.
Okay, nothing left, so let's get a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Yes.
It's been moved and second for adjournment. For adjournment.
It's Friday. We've kind of slowed
down. Michael, you have 2 minutes?
Sure. Oh, yeah, Mr. Carter. Good contract.
That was a good. Was that the one this morning? Yeah.